Good morning. Well, as John said, we are going to talk about the family for the next several sessions, and this morning we're going to talk about husbands. But before we get into that, the background in the book of Ephesians is, if you start, for instance, in chapter 5, the beginning of chapter 5, there are three different things that Paul talks about. And Paul is talking to people who have been transformed, and they are new people in Christ Jesus. And so what he is saying to them is something that Christians ought to adhere to and apply in their lives. And there is a willingness to do that now that we are no longer walking by the flesh or walking in darkness. We are now walking in the light. In chapter 5 and verse 2, one of the things that Paul mentions, and in this chapter he mentions three different things that have to do with the way that we live our lives. The first one is, in chapter 5 and verse 2, to walk in love. And he says, to walk in love even as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Walk in love. Live in love, the way that God would have us to. And he points also to the fact that this relationship that we have was brought about by the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We, in turn, are supposed to be sacrificial in the way that we live. Husbands particularly, it is mentioned about them that they are to be sacrificial in the relationship with their wives and with their families. In verse 8 of chapter 5, Paul says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. You are no longer what you once were. So you become now more receptive than ever to what the apostle is saying and what God has to say for us. So he says that we walk as children of light. We live in the light, no longer in darkness, no longer being moved by things of this world. But now, as a result of this transformation, we are different people. And then if you go to verse 15, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You now walk in wisdom. So he's laying the groundwork and the foundation for what he is going to say to husbands and to wives, in beginning in verse 22. But it all has to do with what Paul said over in chapter 4 and verse 1 when he talks about to walk worthily of the calling wherewith we were called. Worthy. Now we are holy. Now we are worthy because we have been transformed into what God would have us to be. So we now are more receptive. And so we go then to what the Bible says about relationships, and we live that way. You see, once we were old, now we are new. Once we were in darkness, now we are in light. Now we used to walk in the ways of the world, no longer do we do that. So what that means is that now our hearts are ready to listen to what God has to say to families. And might I also point out that what he says to husbands or what he says to wives doesn't have anything to do with what the other one does. A wife is supposed to revere her husband, regardless of the kind of guy he is. Husbands are supposed to love their wives, regardless of the kind or what she does. God is speaking to us individually with the responsibility to become more like Him. And that's the goal, is to be more like Jesus. So, we talk about husbands being in mortal danger, or the family being in mortal danger, because we live in a culture that has changed the definition of what a husband is, of what a family is, and it is an attack on us every single day. So we have to be sure and go back to what the Bible says and listen with open hearts and open minds to what the Bible says. We, as husbands, are in a position to affect a change in our families because God has put us in that position to do that. So we're going to look at several characteristics this morning about husbands. And when we talk about mortal danger, that means the biblical concept of husbands and family are dying in the minds and in the hearts of people. And we find ourselves trying to, kind of speak more from a cultural standpoint, but we cannot afford to do that. As children of God, we must go back to what God has said and what God intends for us to be. So we're going to look at several things. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 25, as was read a while ago, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Love your wives. The word for love there is the word agape. It's the one that means that it's based on who I am, just like the love that God has for us is based on His character. The love that we have for each other, what husbands have for wives, is based on wives, is based on character and what who I am. Not what she does, but who I am and what I do. Husbands, he says, love your wives. And the example is as Christ loved the church and then gave himself up for her. That's what Jesus did for us. And we have to be mindful then of what Jesus has done. And keep that in mind. What God does is He blesses husbands as husbands obey and do what He says. Love your wives. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, he says, "The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church." In other words, he is to be the leader. He is the leader. We don't have the option to decide and vote on who's going to be the leader. God has already decided. The question is whether or not we are going to conform to what God has said. That's the question. So what we need to do as head of the wife, we need to act like it. We need to put on all of these qualities and characteristics that Paul is talking about. Live this way and your marriage will be blessed. Your children, in turn, will be blessed if we do what God is asking us to do. We are also supposed to honor her. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, Peter says, "Dwell with her," or "dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife." Give honor to her. How many times do we do that? Do we constantly or consciously think about honoring our wives in who they are? God is going to bless your home when we allow our minds to be, our minds and our lives to be molded to be what God expects us to be. You see, God uses both a husband and a wife to make things complete. That is His goal. That's what He wants to take place with us. Unfortunately, what ends up happening is that husbands sometimes decide what they can do is that they're going to change their wives. So they go into the relationship thinking, oh, I can change her to be this way or that way. There's nothing in the New Testament, there's nothing in the Old Testament that indicates that that is one thing we're supposed to try to do, is to change the other person. Change has already, to these people at Ephesus, change has already been effected because they are now walking in the light. They have been transformed. That change was brought about by the Holy Spirit. You know, not by a husband deciding that he's going to change his wife. That's not how it comes about. But we are to honor her. Throughout this discussion about the relationship that exists between a husband and wife is the overriding concept of sacrifice. In chapter 5 and verse 25, it says that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. That's sacrifice. That's what we are supposed to do as husbands, to give ourselves. And it is out of love that we do that. You know, one of the things that Paul ended up talking to Timothy about, as far as the culture in Ephesus was at the time, Paul wrote that in latter times, this is in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, he wrote that in latter times, men will become lovers of self. That's set against husbands, love your wives. That ends up in our culture, that's the attitude. It's, you know, I'm looking out for number one. And I look out for what I need and for what I want, not what God said that I need. And who better to know what I need than the Creator, the one who created me in His likeness. But see, this is the culture in which Timothy lived, that people would become lovers of self instead of lovers of God. Much like our culture, that's what it was like. Sacrificial love says, I'm going to love you like Christ loved the church. If I love you like Christ loves the church, that means that I'm going to do what I can to meet the needs of my wife. And how I do that is based upon what God said. So Peter said, we dwell with our wives with knowledge in an understanding way. That's the way we live. We sacrifice. We become the support to them as well, in meeting the needs. If you stop and think about it, we have been given examples of all of these things in the Bible and through Jesus Christ. For instance, in Matthew 23 and verse 11, one of the things that Jesus said about relationships is the greatest among you is servant of all. Service. That's who we are supposed to be. You know, when Jesus washed the apostles' feet, he was meeting their need at the time. There were 13 men in that room. And the strongest of the 13 took up a towel and he knelt and washed the feet of the 12 fallible men, flawed men. People that had men that had to be reminded by Jesus before he went to the cross that they needed to serve one another and they needed to love one another. That's what our Savior did. Is that what we do? Is that how we live? When we look at sacrificial love, if you turn back to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, a lot of times we learn things by observing the way things ought not to be. And I believe that's what we learn in Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says this, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall ye touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that this was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he did eat." This exchange between the serpent and Eve. My question is, where was Adam? They're supposed to be one. What happened? Now, what God does is that after they eat of it, God comes into the garden and he says to them, he calls Adam's name. He said, "Adam, what have you done?" In other words, you have not led your family the way that you should. You were not the protector that you should have been. You were not the defender. You did not insulate your family from evil. You did not watch over her. And look what happened. When we fail to fulfill the role that God has given us, we open the door for sin. Which is exactly what happened with Adam and Eve. A snake came into their garden. The question is, are there snakes that are in your garden? Husbands, we have the responsibility to defend and protect, regardless whether or not culture thinks that way. God wants it that way. And we have a responsibility. You see, sacrificial love is one of those things that causes men and women to be inseparable. We fulfill each other. We help each other. We look out for the well-being of each other and for the well-being of our family. We put that first. You see, Adam didn't do that. And Eve wasn't listening to what was taking place. We need to listen to what the Lord is saying to us and how he's telling us we need to live. There is a love that we are supposed to have for each other. And it is a love that Paul talks about in Romans 8 when he says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The love of God has directed us to live a particular way, to fulfill certain responsibilities in our relationships. When people get married, they give themselves to each other. They think about how they can help the other one to lift up, to build up, to be what God would have us to be. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We are to praise our wives as well. In Proverbs chapter 31, Proverbs 31 and verse 28 talks about the fact that this woman that is being described, her children rise up and call her blessed. And then it says, and her husband also. He rises up. He calls her blessed. He is thankful for her and what she does. When's the last time you praised your wife for who she was, who she is, what she has become, what she is becoming in Christ? Praise. Sometimes I think we don't always think about doing that. And there's a reason. Peter talks about why we live this way and dwell with our wives with knowledge. And he says at the end of that verse that you do this that your prayers be not hindered. We all pray. But sometimes we run into a block because our attitude is not what it should be. If we live the way that God would have us to live, if we dwell with our wives with knowledge, then our prayers will not be hindered. It all kind of dovetails together. But in the home, the responsibility to be the leader is the husband's. It is not the wife's. It's the husband's responsibility to do that. In chapter 5, again, in Ephesians, verses 28. Chapter 5 and verse 28, it says, so husbands, says, ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Nourishes it and cherishes it as Christ does the church. That's what we're supposed to do. And if you notice, Paul ends up talking about things that sometimes are difficult for us to do. He doesn't talk about every small thing. He talks in principle about things that are going to make this relationship better than ever. He says to nourish and to cherish. If you look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. Paul, in writing to this church, he says, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Cherish. Husbands are supposed to cherish their wives. If you look up the word cherish, what it means is heat or to soften, to keep warm, as birds covering their young with their feathers. It fosters tender care and tender love. In a marriage relationship, it speaks to a romantic idea. It has to do with warming of a person's heart. Cherish her. The question is, are we concerned enough about our relationship with each other to go back and see what God has said and to follow His will? Are we more concerned about impression than we are about character? We are to take care, to cherish, to nourish, to give ourselves up for our families. That's what God intended for us to do. In 1 Peter chapter 3, one thing that was interesting to me in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 is that Peter mentions about being joint heirs or heirs together of the grace of life. You see, these people that Peter is talking to, these are Christians that he's talking to. And we can never forget what a great thing it is when two people who are Christians, when they decide that they are going to marry each other, that they together walk through life hand in hand, trying to please the Lord, because we are first of all an heir to the promise and to righteousness. That's first. That's what's in our lives first from the very beginning. And that's what Paul and Peter both are trying to remind people of. This is how you live. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. This is what you do. So the question is, husbands, if you memorize Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, this is where we ended, I think, last week. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, as the head of this family, we will serve the Lord. Men, have you stood up and said that? You people understand that as for you and your house, the most important thing is serving the Lord? It should be a thought that we should have in our hearts and our minds every single day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There are blessings that are untold that we end up receiving because we are no longer walking in darkness, but now we're walking in light. That we have a family in which the man is the husband and the head as God intended, where the woman lives the way God would have her to live, supporting her husband, where there are children who have been taught to honor and respect their parents and others. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the challenge. So have you made that statement to yourself? Every week, last week we talked about reading this every day as a reminder that our main goal in our life is to serve God and to love Him as Christ loved the church. And if we do, then the blessings that we receive will be showered upon us because our relationship with each other and relationship with Christ is true. So this morning, if you're not a child of God, the blessings that are there for us as children of God can only come to those who are in a right relationship with God. So I urge you to think about that. And if we can help you, if we can meet your requests, if you need us to pray for you, if you're not a Christian and you do need to become a child of God, and we can help you with that. Whatever your need, won't you come while we stand and sing?